May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I prayed this verse. We just read it to you again. I've been talking about this off and on for the last few weeks. He said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Again, it's an amazing statement because he's talking about the same kind of love, its intensity and its wholeheartedness and its depth, its width, its height, its length, that happens between the Godhead. He said, that's the same kind of love that Jesus loves us. Same kind of love the Father loves him, he said, he loves us with. And then he says, abide in my love. Live your life in that realm. And that's a powerful thing. And I'm asking the Lord in my own personal life, Lord, teach me what that means. And so we've been kind of probing at some of the things that it means. So I think on this side, we'll never fully understand. And actually, I think that's part of what's going to make heaven, heaven, is that we're going to continually have that reality unfolded before us for millions and trillions of years as we continually fall down and worship him. It says this in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know, experience, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And so he prays for these Ephesians that they would have a strong root system in the love of God. They would have a strong personal history in the love of God. Again, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend. And one of the reasons that we can't comprehend the love of God as we live out our Christian life is because we don't have a good root system. We haven't been abiding in his love. And if we don't have a good root system and we can't comprehend in our daily lives, the enemy takes advantage of that and beats us up every day. You know, there's a difference between stumbling and your faith failing, right? In Luke 22, Jesus speaking to Peter just before the crucifixion, he says, Satan has obtained permission to sift you like wheat. And he says, but I'm going to pray that your faith doesn't fail. And then once you've been restored, once you've returned, you'll strengthen your brothers. It's one thing to stumble. It's another thing for your faith to fail. To stumble in sin is temporary. For your faith to fail is because of your stumbling, the enemy convinces you to no longer go wholeheartedly after Jesus. It's just not worth it. You get so guilty, so shame-ridden, so disappointed, and so discouraged that you just lose the heart to be wholehearted for him. That's why it's so important, particularly when you stumble, that you have a good root system in the love of God so that your faith won't fail. How many of you know that every one of you are going to stumble probably today at some point? You're going to sin, and you're going to hate it. If you have made a commitment to be wholehearted after him, you're going to hate it. And then the enemy's going to be there, the accuser of the brethren, because what he's after is not nearly so much you stumbling as your faith failing. You remember Jesus prayed for his faith to fail and participated in that the last part of the book of the Gospel of John, when he said to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? He asked him three times. He kept telling him, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Because he was strengthening him, building a deep root system in him in the love of God so that he could fulfill his destiny. There's a person in the Bible that says about him that he was a man after God's own heart, that he had chosen early in his life to be wholehearted in his pursuit of the heart and the love of God, to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's David. But how many of you know that David stumbled a time or two? Now, other than the most famous stumbling that he did when he committed adultery and murder to cover up the adultery, there were some practice stumbling that happened before then. That stumbling happened when he was in his 40s. But in his 20s, when he was first called of God, the account is, and I'll do this briefly, is that, you know, David was anointed to be king, then he killed Goliath, and then he married Saul's daughter, and he was like the most famous person of all of Israel. And Saul got jealous and decided to kill him. And when he made his first attempt to kill him, David fled. And he ran from Saul, and he lived a life of a series of lies over a few years before he was finally made king. He fled to the Philistines, to a place called Gath. There was a king in that city called Achish. When he went there, he lied and said he acted like he was a madman, insane, so they wouldn't kill him. He went from there to the other side of Israel, Moab. The prophet there told him to go back to Judah. He disobeyed and lied there. Then he went back to the other side of Israel again and went back to the Philistines. And he was raiding the Amalekites. The Philistine king, Achish, at that time, gave him the city of Ziklag. Said, you can live there. And at that point, David had 600 people as part of his army. People who were all in debt, were all disgruntled, and were all miserable. Those are the people that went where David was. And he would raid. He raided the Amalekites one time. And he came back to Achish, which wasn't far from Ziklag. And the king there said, well, who have you raided today? And David lied and said, well, I went into Israel and I raided Israel. And so it made Achish say, well, I'm about to attack Israel. Why don't you just join us? And he was going to join them, except that the other princes of Philistines didn't trust David. So now David has spent 3 days away from his home Ziklag with his army. And as he goes back, he can see fire. And everything that they had in Ziklag is burned. The Amalekites, whom he had raided earlier, had come back to take revenge, burned their homes, burned the cities, took their children and their wives all captive. Now that's David in his 20s. But there's something about David. I mean, that's a bad time. And when he gets back there, all the people who were close to him, all of his army, they wanted to stone him to death. So everything was going terrible. Lost his family, house burned, all of his friends now want to stone him to death. And it says this about him at this point in his life. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters being captured. But David strengthened himself in his God. Let me show you how he did that. This is Psalm 56, verse 8. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in the bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. Now the preference to the prefix of the psalm said this was a psalm he wrote while he was in Ziklag. Is at that point, at the bottom of the hole, when his own people want to stone him, David says, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He said, this I know, that God is for me. And then one more. For CTKers, we'll do this on a Sunday morning when we have a little more time. This one also says, when David discovers that all of his homes, their city, family has been destroyed, taken captive, the Philistines, Achish, and the other kings went to do battle with Israel during that same time. It's then that Saul got killed and his three sons. And David writes this psalm in that context. So he's still, all that's going on, he strengthened himself in the Lord and said, they comforted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delights in me. Brothers and sisters, that's being rooted in love. That's having a strong root system in love. Wasn't that David was excusing his sin? If you ever go back and read Psalm 51, he was very honest about his sin. But what he did believe, he had come to believe early in his life that God cherished him and that would never change. God may not approve the things he did. There may be consequences of his behavior, but God delighted in him, and God was for him. And when he found himself having stumbled, a series of stumbling, at the lowest point, he strengthened himself in the Lord by remembering, God, you are for me, and you still delight in me. And it's in that understanding he was able to get up and go back and begin to fulfill God's purposes for him after several years of living a lie. That's so encouraging to me. Sometimes people are scared to hear a word like that because they think, well, I can just go sin all I want to. No. David suffered terrible things because of all that. But what it does mean is that your faith doesn't have to fail. At some point, you can stop and go, Lord, you still delight in me. You are for me. And I can, from this moment forward, walk out knowing that I have your favor in my life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.